reside in Leviticus chapter 7. My heart was drawn to this passage this week as I was preparing. We'll be taking a look at a few verses in Leviticus chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you down below. Grab it. If you don't own one, take it with you. It's our gift to you. If you got your device, you can get on your device. And let's go Leviticus 7 this morning. And we're going to take a look at a few verses out of Leviticus 7 on a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But let's pray as we dive in this morning. And so, Father, we come right now, and we thank you for now the opportunity to just open up your word. Lord, it's an honor to be able to read your word. And I think sometimes we even take that for granted. That, Lord, we have your words in front of us. They tell us all about who you are. They tell us about ourselves and how we are in desperate need of you. And so, Father, I pray the next few moments you might stir our affections for you. Lord, go deep with us this morning. Lord, may we build hearts that desire to bring thanksgiving to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you, how many of you got to go to Detective Brewer's processional? Anybody in the room get to go to Detective Brewer's processional? So we decided that day that we were heading down to Batavia to be a part of it. I don't have words for it. I'll be honest with you. I stood there. I was in tears. I was amazed. I was floored. And I was frozen. And if you don't know, that day was absolutely freezing cold. And my wife and I decided to take our two youngins to the processional. And as we were driving there, here's what I got from my kids. Dad, it's so cold out today. Why do we have to stand out in the cold? And as any great parent says, suck it up, buttercup. But I told them this. Guys, we're going to sacrifice an hour out in the cold because a man sacrificed everything for us. Somewhere I think we've lost that concept of sacrifice. Somewhere I think we've lost this idea that everything is supposed to be peaches and rainbows. And everything is supposed to be easy. Heck, we even have a red button that you push from Staples that says what?
That was easy.
That was easy. And somewhere we've missed this idea of sacrifice. I got thinking about that. I'm so honored that I got to be a part of sacrificing for a short time for everything for Detective Brewer and his family and all the other emergency squad members. And yet I got thinking about my own life with God. Jesus Christ has sacrificed everything for me. How much do I sacrifice for him? My question sort of haunts me this morning. Sometimes I play it safe and easy for God. And in my devotional on Friday morning, as I was reading it, the writer talked about this. Dallas Willard, in his Heart Renovation book, said this: too many of us are in survival mode with God. And too many of us are not living out of our comfort zone in faith. I wonder if that's us in the room this morning. You're just living in day-by-day survival mode, just trying to make it through the next hour. Instead of saying, God, what can I sacrifice for you today? So what I want to do is I just want to read Psalm 116, verse 17 through 19 to begin the morning. It's quite the psalm. says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people and the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. I will give a what? A sacrifice of thank offering. Where does the writer of this psalm get this from? Let's go. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. I want us to dive in and see what this passage looks like and hopefully apply it to us today. Leviticus 7, verse 11. These are the regulations for the fellowship offering anyone is to present before the Lord. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thankful offering, he is to offer cakes of bread made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast and spread with oil, and cakes of fine flour well kneaded and mixed with oil. Along with his fellowship offering of thanksgiving, he is to present an offering with cakes of bread made with yeast. He is to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. And it belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. The meat of this of his fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it was offered. He must leave none of it till morning. Now, here's what you're asking. Chris, how the heck does this apply to us? Right? Come on. We're in Leviticus 7, and you're thinking, okay, that was nice for them. What do we do with this passage, right? Great question. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to learn to give an offering of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I think right here in this passage that we can take some principles from here and we can apply them to our own lives, what it means to be grateful people, to be people full of thankfulness. So let's start in. I got six things for you today. You can got your notes. You can write these in. I got six things for you today, and I will keep on moving. First thing I want you to see is this. It's a peace, fellowship, or thank offering. Some of your translations in verse 11 say it's a fellowship offering. Others say it's a peace offering. And still others, it's going to say it is a thank offering. Let me help you explain this. For the Israelites, there were five different offerings that were to be presented. Two of them were mandatory, three of them were voluntary. But the Israelites would come to Jerusalem, come to the priest, and they would offer their offerings to the Lord. The peace offering was voluntary. It was not mandatory. There was no obligation here. But it came out of the person's own free will. And it typically came because someone was filled with joy and gratitude over something that was going on in life. And it was called the peace offering. Why? Because here's what would happen, guys. The peace offering would be brought and there would be a meal. And the meal in the Jewish community represented what? If you were to have dinner with someone, what did that represent? Peace, relationship, communion with each other. So when you go out to lunch here in a few moments, you're probably going to eat with your family, maybe some friends, and what you're really saying to that group of people is, I have relationship with you, I want to commune with you, I want to be one with you, I want our friendship to grow together, I want our family to grow together. We are in relationship with each other. And so the worshiper here in the Jewish community would come to Jerusalem. They would come to the priest, and they were saying to God, I want relationship with you. I want to go deeper with you. I want this to be a greater relationship. And they were saying it because of what? Thankfulness was being built up in their lives. And we see in the Psalms there were three different times that they would bring peace offerings. Ready for this? They would give them when they were in a dire situation, and God delivered them from the dire situation. Anybody in the house had a dire situation recently? Maybe it was health, Maybe it was your finances. Maybe it was a family member going through something, but you had a dire situation and it looked like there was no hope left, and God did something great, and he delivered you. My first thought went to Luke chapter 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Dire situation. You have leprosy. Let me give you news. You were not allowed in the community. Nobody would see you down at McDonald's here in a few moments. No one would see you at Kroger in Mount Orb. You're not allowed in. You have leprosy. You are on the outskirts of town. You are a nobody. Good luck. And so they cry out to Jesus because Jesus is healing. And they cry out to Jesus, "Would you heal us?" As they're going to the priests for cleansing, as they went, they were cleansed on the journey there. And one of them, only one, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he did what? He thanked him. And then the shocker, ready? Here's the shocker. Who was he? A Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. Hated each other. Jesus, of Jewish descent, and yet a Samaritan, is the one who comes back and he says, "Thank you." If you've been in a dire situation before, then you would come back because your heart was stirred to give thanks to God. The second is this: you've given a vow. And here's what it is, sort of like a deal. "Hey, God, I need you here. If you do this, if you deliver for me this, I will do this for you." And so if you gave a vow to God, you would have that fulfilled and you would come back. My first thought went to Hannah and Samuel. Anybody remember the story of Hannah? She can't get pregnant. Over and over, she's pleading with God, "Would you help me get pregnant? Would you help me get pregnant?" And she said, "If you get me pregnant, I'll do what with Samuel? What will I do? I will dedicate him back to you. If you'll just let me have a son, I will dedicate him back to you." God graciously, mercifully gives Hannah a son. And she does what with Samuel? She brings him back and she says, "He's all yours, Lord." She was thankful. The third is this: it was given in response to God's unexpected generosity. Has God unexpectedly blessed you lately? Okay, tax people. Come on, taxes, come on. Anybody get a return this year? Anybody? Yes? Okay, some of you will respond this morning. Some of you are like, "No." I'm sorry. Has anybody done anything for you lately, just unexpectedly, and you go, "Oh my gosh, Lord, thank you so much for bringing that friend along." These are the three situations that the Israelites would come back and they voluntarily would give a peace offering, a thank offering, a fellowship offering. What about you? What's God doing in your life right now? Where has he met you? The second thing I want you to see out of this text is this: it's going to cost you. It's called a sacrifice for a reason, right? It's going to cost you. I think I still live in my college days where I like everything what? Cheap and easy. I'm watching my kids go through it, man. When they get home and they have homework. Okay, Carson had the ultimate yesterday. Sorry, Carson, I got to pick on you. Just this was classic. So we went up to play baseball yesterday up at Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy. And we go to leave, and I don't know if you've been up there before, but the buildings are sort of impressive. And everybody's rolling up in their Mercedes-Benz and their Lexuses and all that. You know, everybody's, you know, it's styling up there. And Carson starts asking, and Aaron's like, "Yeah, man, these kids here pay like $20,000 a year to go here? And Carson's like, what? He goes, I wouldn't want to go there. We're like, why, Carson? He's like, because I bet it's hard. That's my boy. Give me the red button. I want free and I want easy. And yet here in this passage, we're going to see that it's going to cost you something. It costs the worshiper something. Look what it says in Leviticus 3, verse 1. This ties in. This is also the fellowship offering. This is another form of the fellowship offering. It says this: if your offering is a fellowship offering and you offer an animal from the herd, whether male or female, you are to present before the Lord an animal without what? Okay, what kind of animal is that? That's the cream of the crop, guys. That's your best. It's not going through the herd and going, okay, which one of these looks like a moron? Which one has a limp, that physical defect? Let's take that one to the Lord. If you were to bring a fellowship offering, you're to bring what? The best. And guess what that was going to cost you? A lot. It meant what? Money. You could sell that animal and make quite a bit of money. Instead, you are offering it to the Lord. It would cost you a trip to go see the priest. Guys, I know we live in America, and you're going to roll up out of here in your vehicle, and it's going to take you to go 5 miles about 6 minutes, right? If you drive like me, it's going to take four. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there were no vehicles back then. How you getting there? You're walking. And it was not paved roads. It was dusty roads. Thank you for showing that video, Lisa. Even in Haiti, I was watching and I noticed that. Like, it was just dirt, dry dirt. And you're going to take a day's journey to go in to offer a sacrifice. It's going to cost you a day trip. It'll cost you time, and we're going to see this of making bread, because that was the next thing we're going to see here in a second. You're going to make bread. And it's going to take you a day to make the bread. And it's also going to cost you probably your pride. Let me explain that to you. In this moment, you think that you got the world by its tail. And in this moment, what you're really saying is, I don't know as much as I think I know. In fact, God delivered me when I was weak. Thank you, God. How many of us like to do that? Come on, gentlemen, especially in the room. I've had projects where, like, I don't need anybody's help. I got this. And then I get into the job and you go, oh, shnikes, this is not going well. Jason, Josh, Kenny, I've called you guys. I've called others of you. Like, I have no clue. I think I just jacked this thing up. Can you come on over? And what do we guys have to do? Gentlemen, what do you have to do in the room? Let's go. You got to swallow your pride and say, I'm not strong enough. I need help. And in this moment, you're really saying what? I need help. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you the principle, guys. If you're going to bring a sacrifice Thanksgiving, it's going to cost you and me. It's going to cost you something. What did we just do here a few moments ago? We just did what? We sang. Something we do every week. Okay, how many of you like to sing? How many of you don't like to sing? Come on, you're good. If you don't like to sing, go for it. Come on, it's all right. Yeah, we got one. It's cool. I got two, yeah. We got some people it's hard to sing, right? For some of us, the sacrifices, you're going to sing this next song as we close out, and it's going to be hard. Others of you, it's going to be a step further. How many of you are embarrassed to raise your hands in church? Come on. A little awkward? Now you're raising your hands. See? Freedom. Reverse psychology. It's working. I was raised in a church where you didn't see people raise their hands. You didn't see people clap. And I got around some Pentecostal buddies. That'll change you. Like, what in the heck are you all doing? This is like body motions going all over the place. This is different. And I remember the first time I ever raised my hands in a church service, as I was singing, I'm sitting there going, everybody's staring at me. Everybody's staring at me. And dead serious, here's what happened. I don't care. I love my Jesus that much. If you think I'm a freakazoid, I'm a freakazoid. I'm a freakazoid for Jesus. Because he got buck naked on a cross and laid down his life for me, I can raise my hands. That's where I got to. I was like, you know what? My Jesus can do that for me. Embarrassment and shame, I can do that. For some of you, that's where we're going. Still others of you, it may mean that you take a day to serve somebody around you. You take a day to go clean leaves. You take a day to go help somebody's yard. I was thinking about that yesterday. Yard's going crazy. Dean doesn't mow till May 1st. Somebody needs to go mow Dean's yard. Why do we do that, guys? Because God first served me. I read to you Romans 3 and 6 this morning during offertory. Chapter 5 says this, while I was still powerless, Christ came and he died for me. While I was still powerless, I couldn't do it, Christ died for me. He served me. And so we serve others. Let's go there. I heard Susan say it. What did we just do? We just gave offering. For some of you, it means your sacrifice of Thanksgiving is going to mean a financial donation somewhere. Preferably in my pocket. Just joking. Just totally joking. Anybody notice, though, with money, it costs you comfort? Anybody ever do this? Because, okay, tax return, we found out what we were getting back. I was like, okay, my brain started racing of all the things we could do with this money. And I love God. He just sort of gently just said to me, me first. But I got all this other stuff, Lord, I want to go do. Chris, don't forget who gave you the ability to make that money. Who keeps showering blessing after blessing upon you. For some of you, it's going to cost you. It's sacrifice of thanksgiving because God did everything for us. For some of you still in this room, you found that you had healing when people prayed over top of you. And God is now asking you to go to somebody's home and pray over top of them. And it's going to be that awkward conversation. I hear that you're going through this. Can I come pray with you? Anybody ever had one of those conversations where you're like, I'm not sure if I should do this or not? But for some of you, the cost is going to be great. You're going to go pray with somebody this week. You're walking to their home and you're just going to pray over top of them. It's going to get awkward for a moment, but you're going to do it because what? God has brought healing to you through other people. And so I'm going to go extend it to others. And still others of you in this room, I'm so grateful. Thank you, Praise Band, this morning for doing what for us? Y'all served us. Y'all do realize they're here on a Thursday night practicing, right? Anybody else got anything going on Thursday night? Yes? They sacrificed. They're saying, we love Jesus and we love this church enough to what? To sacrifice for you guys, to lead you into song, into God's presence. We love you that much. Still ours, they're in the back right now, and guess what I hear right now? Nothing. I say, thank you, Jesus, for those who are in the nursery right now. And yet I know there's people in the elementary room right now who are teaching our kids the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a generation that's coming, guys, that we're losing right now in the church. We're losing them. Anybody know the numbers right now? We're losing kids in the church. And yet we got people who are faithfully giving their time and their energy because those kids are running them ragged in the back room right now. Little Johnny keeps raising his hand 40 times. And you're like, oh, please, Johnny, just stop. Yet they're pouring into those kids because they're doing what? It's a sacrifice of Thanksgiving. It's going to cost you something. Number three, let's keep going. It's in all circumstances. We're to bring a sacrifice to things even in all circumstances. Anybody notice this? What the worshiper is supposed to bring? Different kind of bread on this one. They had some with yeast and some without yeast and some with flour. Let's start with the ones without yeast and with the finest flour. These represent something, guys. These represent the things that bring you joy and happiness. So when they're bringing the bread with that yeast and they're bringing the bread with the finest flour, they are saying, these things have brought me joy and happiness. These things are going my way right now. These things are celebratory things. What in your life is celebratory right now? Anybody got a new job lately? Anybody got a nice tax return? Anybody got inducted into the FFA Hall of Fame? Boom, baby, I'm bringing it. Somebody just got inducted there tonight or got noticed there tonight. How about a great wedding? It was a cool day, wasn't it? It was a wonderful day. What about you? What are those things that are really building up joy and happiness in your life? And God's saying this, bring them. But notice verse 13. Ready? Let's read verse 13 together. Along with his fellowship offering of thanksgiving, he is to present an offering with cakes of bread made what? Come on, what's the bread made with? Yeast. Okay, for those of you who don't know anything about Jewish culture, let me help you understand what yeast represented to them. Yeast represented things that were false, impure, and sinful. These things would be unclean, the yeast. Paul's going to say it later in 1 Corinthians 5. That a little yeast works through the whole dough. Therefore, get rid of the immoral brother. He's saying that guy is impure. He's sleeping with his stepmom. And you all think it's hysterical. And he's like, get rid of the guy. Because what? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. It works through all the church. And here in this moment, he's saying this, that you are to bring some with yeast, which is totally abnormal. So why does he tell them to bring bread with yeast? Think about the ramifications of this with me for a moment. Let's go deep together. Because guys, our thankfulness is not to be limited to the things that go our way. We have all that without yeast and the finest flowers. Guys, I'm learning in life that it's pretty easy to thank God in those moments when God has blessed me with great things. But it's hard in those moments where the yeast has worked through, and it's hard to praise God in those moments that are difficult and trials have come. And yet the symbolism here is great, that in all circumstances, which Paul's going to say in his letters later, that we are to, what, thank God in all circumstances when things are going great on the mountaintop and when we're in the valley and things are just pure hell. We are to, what, thank God in all circumstances. Why? Because God is not limited to working in only the great things, things that are going our way. Guys, God is working in the trials of our lives as well. You don't believe me? Let's go. It's Palm Sunday. Easter's coming. Good Friday this week is coming. Right here is our answer. It looked like death and hell had won. Anybody in the room agree that Jesus going to a cross was a bad circumstance? Please nod your head yes. It looked like it. And yet 3 days later, he rose and redemption was won. That God was working in the midst of the bad circumstance. God was at work bringing redemption. But what we normally do, guys, is we normally pick out the things that are going our way to be thankful for. The things that I think will advance my career, I say thank you. Things that will help me have a better day today, I say thank you. But for the things that bring me discomfort, I usually curse and grumble and complain. Jason Conley, thank you for Friday. We talked, and Jason said this to me. He says, you know, as a young believer, one of the things I'm learning is this, that in these troubling and difficult circumstances, I can still be thankful because God is at work. Like, he's wiser beyond his years in the faith. Like, I got people in the faith that have been going for 20 years with Jesus, and they still haven't figured that out. Praise God. Like, something horrible comes up, and we just go into the doldrums and act like God's not with us. And I'm like, no, God is with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's the promise, guys. You just can't see what he's up to yet. That's hard. I get that. That's hard. But he's up to something. He is at work. And Jason said this, I'm learning that he's actually at work in here more than anywhere else. Bingo! Because God is going for something greater than your wealth or your comfort. He's going for your heart. And there are times, guys, that God will bring. He will bring them. Hard circumstances. Because he knows if he doesn't, your heart will stay the same. That's a hard word, but it's truth. And it's hard to receive, but God is up to something in the midst of that. And the next thing we see right here is the reminder. It's the reminder of God's grace. Look at 14, verse B, or part B. It says, it belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. It's the reminder of grace. So the worshiper would not only bring the bread, but they would bring the animal. And the priest would take the animal, and he'd cut it, and he would sprinkle the blood over the altar. And it was the reminder of this, that the relationship with God is being strengthened through the sacrifice of this animal. Guys, in the same way, Jesus Christ is our lamb who was slain. And it's because of his blood that I can have fellowship with God the Father. And it's done sheerly out of grace, guys. But here's the problem for you and I. Many of us come with our sacrifice of thanksgiving, and all we're doing is trying to prove to God that we're worthy enough, that we're good enough. Hey, God, look at me. Look at how good I really am. And so we come with our offering of sacrifice of thanksgiving, but really the motive underneath it all is this, to prove to God that we're good enough. And here the reminder is this, you're not good enough, but the blood of Jesus Christ is. That should get you fired up because the pressure's off, guys. I don't have to perform for God anymore. I don't have to. That my hope is found in one thing. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's where I'm going to hang myself. Just here we go. And we become dependent upon God's grace in the midst of that. The fifth thing I want you to see out of this passage is this. That sacrifice of thanksgiving blesses multiple parties. Okay, so let me help you understand this offering. This was a very unique offering compared to all the other offerings. So the worshiper would bring the animal, but then they were to do what? They were to bring the bread as well. And here's what would happen. The first part would go to whom? The first part of the offering would go to whom? The Lord. And so the sacrifice was made, and the Lord would be the first part that got the offering. Who was the second person that got the offering? The priest. Somebody's paying attention. The priest would get the next part. So when the worshiper came and they brought the lamb without defect or the animal without defect and they brought the bread, the Lord was first blessed, but then the priest would actually eat of the food that was given him. That was a blessing to the priest. But then something crazy happens that doesn't happen in any kind of offering that we see in all these other offerings. Here's the third thing. It blessed the worshiper and his family. Guess what they did? They took the remainder of the food and they took it home with them and they would share a meal around the table as they got clean before the Lord and they would share a meal together saying that this is a fellowship offering with God, but it also extends to the other people around me. Guys, when you give thanksgiving to God, you don't only give it to God, you are blessing the people around you. That's what it's meant to do. So what I want to do, Jim, just come on up. I want you guys to be blessed today. So Jim Doolin, one of our elders here, he's going to share with you a few of the things he's thankful for. don't know about you, but just hearing people that are thankful, I just got blessed by Jim. Guys, when we give a sacrifice of thanksgiving, it ripples. It does its ripple effect to the people around us. When we just give a simple thank you to someone who's done something for you, it's a blessing to them as well. The sixth and final, we'll close out with this, is this: it's continual. It's continual. Notice this in verse 15 at the very end. He says, he must leave none of it till morning. Anybody notice that? The verses following will say that he is what? He only has an extra day before it needs to go. And the reminder is this, guys. Your Thanksgiving today is only suffice for today. More Thanksgiving is on its way tomorrow. Anybody notice that? It's continual. And it's why the Apostle Paul is going to write to be continually thankful, always. We said it last week in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice, always, 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 continually, continually, continually. It will ever be on my lips. Many of us, I think, we're thankful once in a while, and yet God is trying to get us to be thankful always, to be continually on our lips. It's the offering of thanksgiving. And we bring it before the Lord vertically, but it blesses horizontally. Because I want this church to be a blessing horizontally as well. Wouldn't it be cool this week if out of the overflow of what God has done in our lives, that we begin to extend it to the people around us with thankfulness and joy? What if we went home this afternoon to our spouse, if you're married, and you were to bless your spouse with words of thanksgiving rather than bitterness and anger and rage? There's way too much in marriage of bitterness going on. For the single folks in the room, I was just listening to a sermon on marriage this week, my own personal time. And I was reminded of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 7. He counted it better to be single than it was to be married. And the world would tell you you're nobody until you get married, and yet you guys are missing it. There's so much blessing in being single. And all the married people said, okay, never mind. Guys, I hope this, as we close out, that on your lips will be a joy of celebration, because God is moving amongst us. He is. And the struggles are not, I mean, let's not be fake either. The struggles are there, right? Come on, there's struggles that are going on. Yet my God has not given up on us. He is still moving. He is still active. He still rules and he reigns. And because of that, I will bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just thanksgiving. We thank you for the opportunity now just to close out in song, lifting our voices, lifting our hearts, lifting our minds to you, declaring to you really a bold statement that we are laying ourselves down before you. For some of us in this room right now, the thing that we need to lay down is our lives, our hearts, our souls. We need to lay them down before you. For Jesus, you say when we lay ourselves down, we actually find life. And so, Father, we desire to give you our lives, and may our lives be full of thanksgiving, be full of joy, and be full of gratitude over everything that you are and everything that you've done, everything you're going to do in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come. So, Jesus, we need you. Would you fill us with joy, Holy Spirit, today? Would you fill us with gratitude? May we be a people who sacrifice. May it cost us something to bring you praise, to bring you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.